And good morning. It is 10:04 at WAMW. Memories 107.9 and The General 95.9, 101.3 and AM 1580. And I'm Dwayne Shake on the phone with us today. A big thank you to our guest for giving us an update this morning from Davies Community Hospital. We have Tracy Conroy, the CEO of the hospital, and Keith Miller, Chief Operations Officer. Good morning, guys. Thanks for sharing some time with us today.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dwayne. Thank you.
You got it. Well, we are glad to have you, and we're doing our best to keep the community informed. I know that's what you guys are doing on a daily basis. I want to say hats off to you because you guys have been transparent from the get-go, giving the information as it becomes available. And Keith, I want to start with you this morning. A lot of the questions out there are pertaining to the testing at this time and who can test, what tests are available, and so on and so forth. And I know you've got a lot of information to share about that this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start on we'll start with the respiratory care screening site that we have set up here near the hospital campus. It is the military grade tent that's set up on the east side of the Davies Community Hospital Medical Clinic building. The closest intersection is Northeast 15th and Grand here in Washington. We've set that up to further assist folks who may have signs and symptoms of the coronavirus or have concerns and questions about whether they should be tested or should they go back home or should they require a different level of care. So we have that site set up. It opened this past Monday. The hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 4 p.m. Those hours mirror our quick care hours because we want folks with cough, fever, respiratory symptoms to go to this site instead of going to quick care or going to one of the other clinics.
Now, do you have to have an appointment to get screened at this tent?
No, you don't. It's first come, first serve. It's kind of a drive-through style setup. If a resident has questions, maybe they're not quite sure if they should go or where they should go, we encourage everybody to access our 24-hour COVID-19 hotline. That hotline is manned by nursing staff who have been trained on how to guide patients. And that number, again, is area code 812-254-2764. Those folks can really help answer some of the basic questions and help patients decide when and where it's time to go.
Well, I had a chance to drive by the other day. This is a military-grade tent. You've got HVAC set up inside and everything at this tent, right?
Yeah, it's a really wonderful setup. It was actually, these tents were distributed to the state emergency preparedness districts back after Hurricane Katrina. So these tents have been available in the community. They're set aside for incidents just like this or when we need extra capacity. It's fully wired with Wi-Fi, electricity. The city of Washington has been great to drop in electrical service there and additional lighting. We do have backup generator power, heating, ventilation. It really is like a portable clinic with all the technology that we would have in other clinics or the other hospital departments, such as the lab.
Very good. So walk us through now. So I'm a patient. I go to the tent. And I may or may not show symptoms or test positive. What is the procedure? You know, again, back to the testing. I know there's been a limited number of tests available, especially in the rural communities. What can you tell us about that at this point?
Yeah, so what folks can expect is they will come up Northeast 15th Street, and they'll turn into the parking lot. You'll see a stop sign. That's where the first person in line should stop. One of the staff members at the tent will instruct the car to pull on up to the examination bay. You'll be asked to roll your window down, and they'll start with some basic questions. You know, what are your signs and symptoms? What are what's the timeline for the signs and symptoms? Based on, you know, their ability to rule out any significant signs or symptoms or something that's not COVID related, those folks may be just simply encouraged to go home, self-isolate, take care of themselves with rest and fluid and over-the-counter medications, and then be given the additional resources with the hotline phone number and the link to initiate a virtual care visit with one of our primary care providers should symptoms worsen. If it is something of interest or if something more suspicious, the patient can be screened further by our provider and the care staff, which may include rapid tests for flu and strep to rule out those viruses and bacteria. If the patient does meet the guidelines for COVID-19 testing, those tests are collected there at the site and sent off to one of our partnering laboratories to be resulted, you know, within the time frame that's allowed by the reference lab. If folks come through this site and they are symptomatic enough and ill enough on assessment to require potential hospitalization, our staff at the tent then coordinate with the ER staff to begin moving that patient in through the ER for potential inpatient admission.
You've got this figured out. It's a finely oiled machine here, and it's a process. Now, when it comes to those tests, now, you know, you are given the guidelines. You know, sometimes people come down on the actual clinic or the provider. You have specific guidelines handed down by the state on whether or not they can actually do the testing for the COVID-19, correct?
That's absolutely correct, and we're working in tandem with the CDC and the Indiana State Department of Health, as well as the Daviess County Health Department. And if we have time this morning, I would like to go into detail on what those categories or conditions are for folks who would be considered for a COVID-19 test.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's very important to get that out there because that's where some of the mass confusion is lying, I think.
Okay. Well, there's multiple categories, and we'll go through them. We will make these guidelines available by social media on some of the hospital social media accounts so people can read through them themselves. But for the listening audience, the first category is patients who require hospitalization due to complications of their acute respiratory illness and symptoms consistent with COVID-19. The second category is healthcare workers and first responders with symptoms consistent of COVID-19 who in their role have potential or unknown exposure to at-risk patients. The third category, patients and staff who have direct contact with patients at long-term care facilities with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 and otherwise no known COVID-19 contact. The fourth category, persons experiencing homelessness with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 and otherwise no known COVID-19 contact. The fifth category, patients who expire with suspected COVID-19 symptoms. The sixth category, patients and staff with direct contact with inmates at correctional facilities with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 and otherwise no known COVID-19 contact. The seventh category, patients 65 years of age and older with symptoms consistent with COVID-19. The eighth and final category is probably the most broad. Patients with underlying conditions with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 following CDC guidelines. And we list out some of those most at-risk underlying conditions. Those are people with chronic lung disease or moderate to severe asthma, people who have heart disease with complications, people who are immunocompromised, including cancer treatments, people of any age with severe obesity, which is categorized as a BMI greater than 40, or certain underlying medical conditions, particularly not well controlled, such as those with diabetes, renal failure or liver disease, and pregnant women. So I hope that helps add some detail around folks who should consider reaching out through the hotline, through our other resources, to potentially be guided to our remote site for potential COVID-19 testing.
Very good. Again, that's the information that I feel we definitely need to get out there, because that is handed down by the state. As you mentioned, the hospital adheres to those guidelines for those who get the test. Now, if you do have any of those conditions, the only one is 65 and older that mentions age, but age can be with any of those conditions you mentioned in those eight guidelines there, right?
Absolutely. And if you look at, if you're watching the ISDH tracking and some of the data that they're providing with confirmed cases in the state, you know, from 0 years of age to 80 plus, every one of those demographic categories have positive cases. Obviously, the age 60 and old, or 65 and older, are probably the most at risk.
Well, again, we're talking to Keith Miller, Chief Operation Officer at Davies Community Hospital. Tracy Conroy, the CEO of the hospital, is also with us. Tracy, I want to bring you in because DCH has been diligent in continuing to prepare for what even the president mentioned in his news conference yesterday is expected to be an influx. These next 2 weeks, we're going to climb to the peak, and I know the hospital's been making those preparations, Tracy, to get ready, right?
Yes, we're making those plans daily, and we have to turn that information into the state. We're looking at all the equipment that's necessary to treat those patients. We're looking at all of our beds, and actually we'll be relocating some of our units, and that's called our surge plan, and we are working on that throughout this week, and it will be finalized by the end of the week so we can make sure we can treat all the patients that, like you said, that are going to be expected to be here mid-April to mid-May.
Now, for the hospital staff, I know you're also, and for those who do have to go to the hospital, you're also doing your part to stay sterilized and keep everything wiped down. I know that's an ongoing thing at all locations for that matter, but particularly at Davies Community Hospital too.
Yes, it's very important. We've definitely increased our cleaning protocols, the high-touch areas. It's very important to make sure we clean those with appropriate cleaning solutions and just increase the frequency that we clean flat surfaces and, again, all those high-touch areas. So, yes, all that is in place.
And the latest release from the health department just come down at 10 o'clock this morning, just a few minutes ago. And once again, Keith or Tracy, either one of you, the numbers still indicate no positive testing, and no one tested positive in Davies County as well as Martin and Pike County, correct?
That is correct. That's something that we follow very closely. It's updated, like Keith said, at 10 o'clock every day. So right now we do not have any, but we expect that to change very shortly. And we know once those cases start hitting our community, we know, again, that puts a little fear and anxiety in the community members. And again, what you all can do, what the community can do to help not just Davies Community Hospital, but all healthcare organizations, we're really encouraging our telehealth visits, utilizing visits with your provider through the telephone or through a virtual visit, listening to the guidelines, please stay at home if you can, except for those people that have essential jobs. Practice the social distancing that's so very important. And again, and I know everybody's tired of hearing this, but how important it is to wash your hands frequently, and, you know, avoid touching your face, mouth, eyes. It's very, very important to follow all those guidelines to stay out of the hospital.
Cannot
you know,
say
we would
enough.
Just like to, we would like to thank the community for all their support. We'd especially like to thank all of our brave employees that walk through the doors every day to fight this battle. And we're just asking the community to help us fight this battle by following all those guidelines.
And, you know, I think it says a lot that so far, again, no positive test in Davies County. Now, yes, that is subject to change and can change on the drop of a dime. But, Keith, I want to open it back up to you, if I could, for just a moment. For those who get sent home that feel they have the symptoms, I know they get a little frustration set in. Sometimes their weapon of choice is to go to social media and pass along their experience and how they are not happy with it and feel that more should be done. What would you say to those folks this morning listening?
Well, first I would say that we all appreciate the frustration, you know, the fluid nature of the situation from a national level, and as it becomes more prevalent locally, you know, we understand that people always want more information and they do use social media to vent. And I understand that, and we can't stop that. But what I would encourage the listening audience today is try to take what you're reading on social media with a grain of salt, and always go back to your state sponsored, your hospital sponsored, your local health department sponsored web pages, their social media accounts to get the truth. We've encouraged our own employees to avoid engaging in banter or arguments on social media around some of these subjects. It really serves no purpose other than increasing the fear and the anxiety, because people are reading opinions and maybe misconstruing those as facts. So again, follow your legitimate news sources for the most up-to-date numbers, the most up-to-date guidelines, and the guidance on what folks should be doing.
I think that was spot on right there. Absolutely nail on the head, because, again, those, you know, Keith, this is what I said, and Tracy, from the get-go, you guys have nothing to hide. The health department has nothing to hide. When the numbers are there, if they do come available and that there is a case in Davies County, it will be released. You simply pass along what you have, and you do a great job at passing that along, and you will continue to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll always provide all the information we can, but we'll always also assure that it's accurate, that it's truthful, and that it's helpful. So you can count on us and our partnerships with the state and local agencies and the local news media. You guys are doing a great job helping us get the truth out there. So,
well, Dwayne, the only thing I would like to add to that is, and I know it's hard for community members and others to understand, but we, you know, obviously we have to remain confidentiality of anybody that would test positive. And I know, like you said, everybody, you know, once it gets to our area, there's going to be lots of questions. But please remember that we owe it to that person's family, to keep that information confidential. We'll share what we can share, but we have to maintain and respect patients' rights and confidentiality.
Absolutely. Again, good point. Very well said there as well. Guys, Tracy Conroy, CEO of Davies Community Hospital, Keith Miller, the Chief Operations Officer, our guest this morning with some great information on the local level, talking about the latest that we have on the coronavirus, COVID-19 in our community. Again, as of 10 o'clock this morning with the latest release, still no positive cases in Davies County. Let's do our best to keep it that way. Let's please continue the social distancing, washing your hands. If you don't have to be out, don't get out. Let's brace for the next 2 weeks. And let's, you know, I said this morning on the morning show, never underestimate the power of prayer. Keep everyone in your thoughts and prayers, and especially you guys on the front line in the healthcare industry. We definitely appreciate day in and day out what you guys are doing there at Davies Community Hospital. In our final seconds here, is there anything else you would like to leave with in the closing this morning?
Yes, I would. I would like to challenge everybody to use social media in a positive manner instead of a negative manner. Please remember all the first responders and all the heroes throughout this battle. And encouragement goes a long way. It certainly helps overcome fear and anxiety. And positive comments, encouragement, hope, those messages can do a lot more for the community than the negativity.
And you, Keith, anything you'd like to add?
I think Tracy said it perfectly, so I'm nothing to add.
All right, guys. Well, again, absolutely agree with you 100%. Thank you so much. I know you're very busy, folks. We appreciate you sharing some time with our listeners this morning and great information. Continue to stay safe, and if you need us for anything else, be sure to give us a call back.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Thank you.
You guys have a great day. That is the latest from Davies Community Hospital this morning on the COVID-19 and local level here in Davies County. We will continue to keep close tabs on this and, of course, stay in touch with the officials at Davies Community Hospital as well as the health department to keep you in the know and in the loop with the latest. But again, as of 10 o'clock this morning with the release from the health department, at this point, still no positive cases in Davies County. Continue to do your part. Continue to wash your hands. Continue to practice social distancing. And please continue to stay safe. I'm Dwayne Shake for WAMW.